Well, thanks so much for having me. I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you so much to Sovereign Grace. If it were not for you guys, I don't know that I would be here in Pennsylvania working with my dad. It's because of your help and support that we're able to do this, and we're excited. Rachel and I have been going to Pocono EFC now for 3 weeks. I got to preach there and do everything this past Sunday as my dad was away, and it was a blessing to be there, and it's been a coming home for me to be home with my dad and working with him and ministering with him. It's been a dream come true. I never really thought it would happen. In fact, I remember when I was in high school, I asked my dad, "Hey, do you think you'd ever like hire me as like, you know, your youth pastor or something?" And he was like, "No, I don't know about working with family and stuff. You know, I don't think that will work." And you know, the Lord softens hearts, changes minds, and hey, here we are, right? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Since I'm going to be preaching here once a month, I thought, well, I'll do a little bit of a series. And so I just want to do a short, little, small series through part of Philippians 4. I know, Sean, you're doing Philippians right now. Was it the morning, evening service? There you go. So I don't want to steal from your thunder, but thank you for allowing me to preach on this. Philippians chapter 4, I want to start in verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that we have the opportunity to come here today to get to look at your word, to look at what it means to rejoice. Father, it is sobering to think about how often we allow circumstances to dictate our joy and not our relationship with you. Father, may our walk with you fill us with joy, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Help us to remember that you are with us at all times and that you love us. Help us to find joy in you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know how many of you are Star Wars fans out there. I'm just going to talk real briefly about Star Wars here. Is there anyone that likes Star Wars here? Anyone at all? No? Okay, a couple? All right, very good. You know, I'm a big Star Wars fan, big time. I love Star Wars. Watched all of the movies growing up, and then all of a sudden, about 2 years ago, they said they're going to come up with another Star Wars. And I got really excited, and I started looking up YouTube links and things like that, talking about Star Wars and what would happen and what might happen and fan theories and just on and on and on. I spent lots of time looking into the Star Wars thing, right? You know, and so a year and a half passes, the movie comes out, I go to the movie theater, I'm so excited. I watch this movie, and I gotta tell you, I love the movie. It was a great 2 hours and, what was it, 10 minutes, something like that. I remember sitting there watching this movie, just enjoying the whole bit of it, and then something happened. You know what happened? It ended. That was it. I've been waiting for this thing for a year and a half. I sit there for 2 hours and 10 minutes. I watched this great movie. It was a great movie, but at some point in time, it ended. And I thought, it's a really good thing that my joy is not determined on our temporal circumstances. Because if my joy was in Star Wars, which, kind of being a little silly there, but if it was focused on Star Wars, well, my life would be miserable for the next year and a half or however long the next one's coming out, right? We can be thankful that our joy can be founded not in our circumstances, but in Christ. If you look at Philippians 4, it says to rejoice. Now, I want to take a look at what rejoicing means. So I don't have an outline for you, but if you're taking notes, the first point would be the meaning of our rejoicing. The meaning of our rejoicing. I'm going to give you all 3 points real quick just so you know where I'm going, because I didn't have an outline for you. That's my bad. So the first point will be the meaning of our rejoicing. The second point is going to be the source of our rejoicing. And finally, the third point will be the frequency of our rejoicing. Let me repeat that. The meaning of our rejoicing, the source of our rejoicing, and the frequency of our rejoicing. What does it mean to rejoice? Now, I want us to look at a little bit more at Philippians, Sean. I know you probably have looked at some of these passages, but I want to look real quick at some of the passages that Paul uses in regards to joy or rejoicing. He uses it all the time throughout the book of Philippians. And you have to understand something about the book of Philippians. Where's Paul at this point in time? He's in prison. For a man to talk about joy the way Paul does, you have to know it's not because of his situation. It's something much deeper, much better than that. So look, we're going to jump through around in Philippians real quick. I just want to highlight a couple verses and I want you to see how Paul talks about joy. So look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Starting in verse 3, actually, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Skipping down to verse 18, Paul then says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Now, what Paul's talking about right there is he's talking about these people that are proclaiming the good news of Christ, but they're doing it from wrong motives, from a wrong heart. And obviously, Paul isn't saying, hey, that's okay. But what he is saying is, hey, the gospel is getting out, and I'm going to rejoice in that. Even though this is kind of a negative situation, I'm still going to rejoice because the gospel is being proclaimed. Look down at verse 25. Paul says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Chapter 2, verse 28. He's talking specifically about Epaphroditus, who had been sick, who had been ill, but had gotten better. And in verse 28, he's talking about sending him to the Philippians. He says, therefore I have sent him, talking about Epaphroditus, all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard to you. Next chapter, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Look at verse 10, finally. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at last, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. You see Paul talking about rejoicing and joy a lot, in a lot of different ways. And I'll also say, these are not the only times that Paul uses the concept of rejoicing. But I just wanted you to see a little bit of how Paul uses this word, rejoice, throughout the context of the book of Philippians. And you see him very clearly talking about joy, and joy specifically often you see in Christ. Look at chapter 3 one more time, verse 1. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Now, switch back real quick to our text, chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So in chapter 3, verse 1, he kind of says, rejoice in the Lord. Hey, I got no problem saying it again. I'll say it again. And then a little bit later in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And then, enough for a good measure again, he says, rejoice. So he actually says it like three times here, right? He's telling us that we got to rejoice specifically in the Lord. So what does it mean to rejoice? Strong says this. To rejoice means to be glad, to rejoice exceedingly, to be well, or to thrive. A.T. Robertson makes this point. It's a present imperative. Now, I'm no Greek scholar, believe me, but to give an idea of what a present imperative is, it's kind of like this concept of, it's a command, imperative is a command, and when is the command supposed to be in play. It's supposed to be in play in the present, right? So it's a command that we're always supposed to be doing because we live in the present. We don't live necessarily in the past or the future, right? We live in the present. So it's a command that's always applicable for you and I today. We're always supposed to be doing this. It's a present imperative, also known as a continual command. We're supposed to continue being joyful. Henry says this, joy in God is a duty of great consequence in the Christian life. And Christians need to be again and again called to it. Again and again, we're called to rejoice. Now, I want to make a distinction. There's a difference between joy and happiness. I want to make the point that these are not necessarily the same things. So when I say rejoice in the Lord, I'm not saying you need to experience the emotion of happiness all the time. That's not what we're saying exactly. Happiness tends to be dependent on circumstances and can often be fleeting. But joy is found in Christ. Joy is not an emotion. It's actually a gift from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So it's something that comes from Christ. It's not just an emotion that I feel on a daily basis. I wake up feeling happy all the time, even when I'm down in the dumps and having difficult times, right? I can rejoice even in the most difficult circumstances. We're going to unpack that a little bit more. One of the internet sources I found said this. I thought this was really helpful. He says, the word joy means to be exceedingly glad. Happiness, on the other hand, tends to be fleeting and depends upon temporal factors like circumstances or people. True joy is everlasting and not dependent upon circumstances. It is eternal because it is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ, which is itself an everlasting source of joy. Amen. Bell says this, joy is an attitude of the heart and is a gift that derives from God's love. I just want us to remember that joy comes from Christ. It doesn't come from your emotion. It comes from knowing Him. And I also want to say, listen, if you're not experiencing joy in your life today, I just want to encourage you to think about your walk with the Lord. How are we expected to have joy if we're not walking with Him? How can we experience joy if we're not in His Word? How can we experience joy if we're not talking through prayer to Christ? So I just want to encourage you, if you're not experiencing joy, there might be a few things that are keeping us from experiencing joy. I have a few that I'd like to share with you. What keeps us from rejoicing? I have three things to talk about real quick. One thing I think is very important, and I know it's true in my life if I'm not careful. One thing that could keep me from joy is unrepentant sin. Unrepentant sin. And I want to encourage us as a church body to take a good long look at our hearts. If you find yourself in unrepentant sin, that may be why we're not experiencing joy at times. Because our focus is on our sin and not on Christ. Secondly, what keeps us from rejoicing? It could be a lack of trust in Christ Jesus. You know, God does a lot of things in our lives, and to be honest, I don't know why. I don't know why He does certain things. I don't know why He brings certain troubles into our lives. But I know this. He is good. I know this. He's working all things for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, I can either trust in that and trust that what God has is in fact what's best. Or I can try to tell God how I think He should do it. And let me tell you, it's not going to work. My ways are not His ways. He knows far better than I do. So I got to trust in Him with all my heart. What else keeps us from rejoicing? Thirdly, our focus being in the wrong place. I think that's a really key point and actually leads us into our next point. And that's the source of our rejoicing. If our source of rejoicing is in Star Wars, I'm going to be disappointed, you know? But if my source of rejoicing is in Jesus Christ, then I always have a reason to rejoice. Always. Look at our passage. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Darby says this. He says, Paul exhorts Christians to rejoice. It is a testimony to the worth of Christ. It is their true portion. Christ is worth rejoicing over. Paul telling us to rejoice in the Lord says, wow, there's something about Jesus and He is worth having joy in. Barnes says this, if the sources of all other joys are dried up, yet this is not. And there's not a moment of a Christian's life in which he may not find joy in the character or in the law or in the promises of God. We can always find joy in who God is and what He offers for us. Ralph Martin says this, it is the Philippians' faith in the Lord which makes rejoicing in the throes of opposition a glorious possibility. We'd never be able to do rejoicing apart from Christ in the midst of difficulties. Paul's appeal ultimately is to throw the distressed church on the Lord. Again, we're talking about Paul. He's in prison. He's ultimately going to die for his faith. And what's his message? His message is to rejoice. Man, if Paul, who has been beaten and ridiculed and all these things have happened to Paul, and he's in prison, and he can sit there and say, rejoice. Man, he has something that's greater than what this world has to offer then. This world isn't going to offer you something like that. But Christ does. Why? Why should we rejoice in the Lord? I don't know if you've ever asked that question to yourself, but I want to take a look at that. Just 1 minute. I just want to speak a little candidly. I'm going to give you my own little thoughts and antidotes here. But I just want to share this with you as I started thinking about why should I rejoice in Christ? You first have to understand who God is. The Creator of everything that we know, feel, see, and touch. The One that spoke and it existed. And not only did He create every beautiful thing that you see on this earth, but then He took the time to form man out of the dust of the ground and create man in the image of God. He created you and me. He's a creator God, but He's also holy. He is just. He is righteous. He is a God filled with grace and mercy and love and compassion and kindness. He's a God of self-control. He's a great God. He exudes those characteristics to perfection in a way that I never could. And then, holy, righteous, just, God comes to earth. He experiences rejection. The holy God of the universe experiences rejection, is mocked, is ridiculed, is beaten. His beard is plucked out. He is mocked. He is whipped. A crown of thorns is jammed into His head, and then He goes to the cross and He is nailed there for everyone to see. And you know, we could talk about the physical things that Christ went through, but it wasn't even just that. God turned His back on His Son, and the full wrath of God for your sins was laid out on Jesus on that cross for you and me. And Jesus experienced that. The God of the universe experienced that for you and for me. Wow. And then He rose again, conquering death. You would think that it would be more than enough for God to just pardon us for our sin, give us a pass, say, Jesus covered your sin, all right? You get off, but I'm just going to let you off. No, then he shows grace. And now he says, not only are you pardoned, but now I want you as a son, as a daughter. I want you to partake in the inheritance. You are adopted. You are loved. You are cherished. Your standing is righteous in God's sight because of the cross, because of Christ. Wow. And now, we have to live this life that is temporary. And if we know Him as our Lord and Savior, one day we will experience eternity with God forever and forever and ever and ever. We have great hope in God. And I ask you today, why are we so focused on the temporal? Why are we so bothered by the small things in this life when Christ has done everything for us? He is a great and awesome God. How in the world can we say, I just don't feel like rejoicing today, right? We have so much to rejoice in. So in order to rejoice in Christ, I have three things. In order to rejoice in Christ, I must first of all remember who He is and what He has done. That's why I kind of shared with you a little of some of my thoughts and my anecdotes. I'm sure I missed a whole bunch in there, right? You could fill in those blanks a lot. We got to remember, we got to be reminded of what Jesus did for us. The more that we remember, the more that we say, wow, I got a lot to be thankful for. I got a lot to rejoice in. But our problem is sometimes we forget. We shouldn't forget, but we do. We forget how great of a God He is. What He has done for us, how He has loved us. So we need to be reminded again and again and again and again of what we have to rejoice in. He is a great God. Let's remember together. Second, in order to rejoice in Christ, I must secondly find purpose and identity in Christ. This world is not my home. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Him. And when I make my identity about myself, let me tell you, I don't find much joy. Maybe moments of pleasure or happiness, but certainly not true everlasting joy. I find joy when my identity is in Jesus Christ. So where's your identity today? Where's your purpose? Is it in Christ Jesus? Thirdly, to rejoice in Christ, I must trust in Him completely. Remember I said before, one of the things that could stop us from rejoicing or keep us from rejoicing is our lack of trust in Christ. So one of the things we must do if we're going to trust in Jesus, or if we're going to rejoice in Jesus, is to trust Him. There's lots of times I want to ask God why. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad question. But the why doesn't really matter when I know that God is in control. I don't need to know the why if I am trusting in Him. I may want to, but I don't need to. That brings us to our third point. The frequency of our rejoicing. Look again at our text. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I already mentioned to you that this is a present imperative, that we are called to rejoice. So the fact that He says rejoice, present imperative, in the Lord always, is actually kind of redundant because He's already made the point that it's supposed to be always. But He says it again for our sake so that we understand when we're supposed to rejoice, and it's always. Strong says that this word actually means all the time. Henry says, it is our duty and privilege to rejoice in God and to rejoice in Him always, at all times, in all conditions, even when we suffer for Him or are even afflicted by Him. Gill says, there is always cause and matter for rejoicing in Christ, even in times of affliction, distress, and persecution, since He is always the same. He's the same God. Turn with me very quickly to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This is a challenging passage for me, but it's been a huge encouragement in my life, especially when I experience difficulties and struggles. And James, I think, speaks to this. In James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Look at that verse 2, real quick with me again. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. How could we count our trials as joy? We can because we have a God who's working it all out. We can because we have a God who's in control. We can because we have a God who's sovereign. You know, I can't think of a better story to express this than what I want to share with you. For many of you, you guys were at my mom's funeral, some of you, way back in 2007. And I remember it was after I had shared what I shared, and I had been sitting down, and I'm sitting there as we were grieving my mom and the loss of her. And I remember she sang the special music. We had a recording of her voice singing some songs, and she did her own special at her funeral. And I'll never forget hearing her voice singing these words, "Be glad, be glad. Every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be glad, be glad, be glad." And I sat there as I was mourning and grieving the loss of someone so dear to me, and hearing her voice say, "Be glad. Everything, all the bad that you've done, all the evil, it's been paid by Jesus. Be glad." And though we may die, we can live in Christ. And one day we'll be raised with Him. Folks, we have so many reasons to rejoice. And I hope my encouragement to you guys is as you leave today that you experience the joy of Jesus Christ in your life. Seek Him. I have three questions in closing for you and for me today to ask as we leave. First question is, am I allowing in my life, am I doing this? Am I allowing circumstances to dictate my joy? Because if I am, maybe that's why I'm not feeling joyful sometimes. Right? Am I allowing circumstances to dictate my joy? Is that happening in my life? Where's my joy coming from? I encourage you to ask this question as you leave. Secondly, is my joy fixed in the right place? Am I dwelling on the right things? When my focus is not on Christ, I'm not going to experience joy. Or why would I expect to experience joy? It's when my focus is in the right place on Him that I can truly experience joy. Because remember, it's a gift from Christ. It's founded in Jesus. So make sure, where's your focus? If you're not spending time with the Lord, I encourage you to evaluate that in your life. Spend time with Him. Thirdly, am I exceedingly glad about my Savior Jesus Christ today? Let's remember Him. Let's think upon Him. You know, sometimes we come to church and we hear a lot of the same things over and over, and sometimes it becomes just normal and we just say things. But let's really think about this. This should never grow old on us. What Jesus has done should impact our very core for the rest of our lives. So, are you exceedingly glad about Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we come to You tonight. And we recognize that there are things that so easily take your place in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, we repent of those. We ask for clean hearts. Help us to long and seek after you as the deer pants for water. Help us to find our hope and our joy in you. Help us to find true, everlasting joy in the person and the character of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We praise you for what you have done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.